Hey, what's up, coaches? Hope you're having a great week. This is Jared Medlin. I'm joined here today with my partner in crime, the one, the only, Eric Boris.
Partner in crime? Sounds like we're up to some shady doings.
Well, we all know that if someone was going to commit a crime between the two of us, it would absolutely not be me.
That is true. You would feel way too guilty and turn yourself in within half an hour, guaranteed. I would just live in a shack in Montana and no one would ever find me.
It's so true. Hey, today we're joined by Justin Doyle. Justin's the lead pastor at the Surprise Campus. Justin, say hey to everybody.
What's up?
Such passion in his voice.
That's right.
Hey, Justin's awesome and you guys are in for a treat today. We're going to be talking about just how we value showing up for students on their turf. Mm-hmm. And Justin, we're excited to hear from you. I know you've got some great wisdom to share with our coaches. But before we get to that, let's do Eric's favorite part of the episode, which is...
Yes. The only reason I'm here, really, is to just have a little fun and get to know our guests better. Justin, we always ask guests, like, what's a few, like, random things that the world should know about you?
Yeah.
And one of the things you included was that since you've been married, which is how many years now?
It'll be 6.
Sorry, I just put you on the spot right there.
I was a little hesitated.
We can edit this where you answer immediately.
Mercedes, he loves you. I know he does.
Yeah, she knows.
There's so many kids.
Yeah, that's right.
Brain gets a little foggy.
Yeah, but 6 in April.
So in 6 years, you have cooked 95% of the meals in your home?
Yeah, I don't know if that's like an exact percentage, but I do majority of the cooking in our household.
You're just a cooker, a chef of sorts.
I love it.
Awesome.
I cook almost every meal. And then I do all the grocery shopping too. So every week I do our grocery shopping stuff and then I cook all the dinners. And then if I'm not going to be home or like work related or soccer or something's going on, then Mercedes obviously has to do something for the kiddos.
Man.
You're
making us all look terrible right now.
Are you a Fry's, Safeway, Costco, Albertsons?
Fry's and Costco. Right. I like fries because the fuel points.
Oh, and, it is hard to beat those.
Dude, those are the best. When you pull up to a gas station, it's like 30 cents off your thing for shopping there. And then Costco we go to probably every couple months. There's not one in Surprise. They're currently building one, which we're super excited about. But the closest one is either all the way in Avondale or 83rd and Bell. And who wants to drive to 83rd and Bell?
Well, and that one is... I am specifically not a Costco member just because of that location.
That one's awful.
It's the worst place in the world. So I go to Sam's Club because I just can't handle it.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I wanted to ask is if you had a specialty chef-wise, like Jared and I are coming over and you desperately want to impress us.
Yeah.
What are you making?
It's actually a side dish.
Just going to serve a side dish?
Well, no, I'll serve you a whole meal, but the specialty is a side dish. It's called, we call it yellow rice. That's what we call it. And actually got the recipe from my father-in-law the year we first got married. And it's my favorite dish to make. It's my favorite side. It's like a yellow rice with tons of different types of chilies in it and onions. And you can add like meat or you can add zucchini. You can add like a bunch of different stuff, but it has like turmeric and garlic and like makes it yellow. The turmeric does. And it's just a great, it's not like a Mexican rice. It's more of like I don't even know how to explain it. Like we eat it with steak. Yeah. We eat it with steak and chicken and pork and I'm going to make it tonight with chicken. Like we probably make it once or twice a week.
And why didn't you bring some is the real question.
It takes a while to make it, but
yes, I am. I will be waiting by the phone for my invite to dinner.
I'll get you guys.
That sounds amazing.
It's the best. It's my favorite, by far my favorite thing to make with any of the dishes we make. So,
okay. Well, now I'm hungry. This is great.
Okay. The second thing that I saw on your list of interesting things, is something that Eric was actually just talking about this. And I think this probably is true for a lot of our listeners. But Justin, you told us that when you're in public, you'll never sit with your back to the door.
Yeah.
Why do you have that conviction?
Probably slightly paranoia. And the other part is probably, I don't know. I think, I don't, my grandfather maybe is the one who taught me that. But just to always be prepared for what could happen in any situation you find yourself in. So if I have my back to a door, my reaction time, my sight to harm or anything that might happen is now obsolete. So sitting with my back to a wall, this sounds crazy talking about
no,
it.
No.
Eric's agreeing, so
if
it's
they
fine.
Could see us, Jared is shaking his head and I am nodding every step of the way.
You guys are both like quasi Enneagram sixes, worst case scenario thinkers.
That's not what I am though. So
I know.
We just recognize that sometimes people suck and bad things happen.
Yeah. My wife, she even like instinctively knows now when we go into restaurants and like the waitress takes us to our table, she sits on the right side.
This is so the conversation we were having.
We just talked about this, Justin.
And how it took years. Yeah. I don't mean this the way it sounds, but it took me years to train my wife because she would take us there and there would be this awkward exchange where Sarah just looks at me like, where should I sit? Yeah. And now she just knows.
Yep.
She sits in the right spot.
Yep. And I take into account, we were talking about this too, is exits. Where are the exits in a building?
Know where they are.
If there's multiple, which one's quicker? Even like, I don't even necessarily want my back to a bathroom because who knows who's coming out of a bathroom.
Yeah. People are crazy. I quiz Godfather. We'll just be sitting there. Happens. I'll be like, hey, where are the exits? Yep. I make it like fun. I'm not like creating scary scenarios, but I just want them to start looking for them.
Yeah. So just like to be aware. I like to know my surroundings and what's going on.
Well, I just feel so safe sitting with such protective men in the room right now. Oh. And I feel just like a little bit less of a man because I don't think this way.
Well,
and
my I don't back's have a beard door, like so either. Eric would be the one.
Both of these guys have great beards as well. So, man, I'm just so inferior.
Well, Jared, I mean, don't be so hard on yourself, but maybe it's something to work on.
Okay. Let's turn this to some serious stuff. We want to help coaches get better on this podcast. And Justin, thanks again for just working on this content that you want to share for us today, all about just the value of being on the same turf as our students. Why don't you just take it from here?
Yeah. I really like this topic because I think it's something that I probably value most about what I get to do as a student pastor. When I think about my job during the week, this is usually at the forefront of, hey, what am I doing to get off the church site and go somewhere in the community, whether that's a school or meeting with coaches or whatever that is. So I think for a coach, that should be one of the most important things we think of too, is what am I doing outside of these four walls to reach my students? And as I was kind of thinking through this, there was really three things that came up that I said, man, these are probably the three biggest reasons why we should get outside the church and onto their turf. First one being students, barriers and walls, they're breached when we get outside of the church. And any type of barrier they have up to Jesus or coming to church, whether their parents force them or they've had a bad experience. I think when we meet them where they're at, those walls are a lot shorter. They're either non-existent or they're not as high for us to climb over, if that makes sense. And I think when students come on a weekend, naturally, they're already skeptical maybe to what's going on, especially if it's a new student or a student that doesn't want to be there.
That's right.
And I think that already puts us at a disadvantage. So when we take the time to meet them at a football game or go to a play they're in or a choir concert or take our group to the movies, like whatever that looks like, that gives you just another in to those students to be able to connect with them and build relationships and build that trust that you might not get to do on a normal Sunday night.
You said this in your notes, which I think is just so, so important. Trust is built quicker outside the four walls of the church than inside.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that we can't build trust with students when they're at church. We absolutely can. But we can do so much faster when we're on their turf. I think that's so important.
Yeah. And I think with that, they expect it
when
they come to church. They expect like, oh, this volunteer is going to be there. He's going to be sitting in my group. He's going to ask me questions. He's going to ask me about my personal life, whatever that is. They're not expecting it when you show up to a football game. I mean, you'd be surprised that you could show up for 5 minutes and just the excitement they have is in the shock they have of like, whoa, you're totally, now you're out of context for them. They only associate you with the church and now you're meeting them where they're at and they're thrown off. And I've had students ask me that before, like, well, what do you do here? Are you a teacher at the school? It's like, no, I'm still a pastor. I just want to see you here too, you know? And I think it catches them off guard. And, I think it's extremely important. And we have a coach in Surprise that does this really, really well. He's developed this, not necessarily meeting them on their turf, but making time for them outside of church and He invites them to their house every Sunday night after our experience is over. They do just a hang. He provides food, all this stuff. And it's gotten to the point now where the trust is so built between their group that if he's working on a Sunday night and his family's not even home, he like gave them the code to the garage and they hang out at his house every Sunday night. And not recommending you do that. Maybe your group isn't that trustworthy. But that's just a clear example of the trust that's been built with him and his group. And that doesn't come from just a Sunday night. That comes from the hours he's put in to meet them where they're at, to encourage them where they're at, and build that trust that for a lot of our students, they might not get that anywhere else. They might not get that attention and encouragement. And we're not going to be a ministry that fails in that. We want to exceed and do well with that. So that's just one example, but you know, somewhere where someone's killing it.
Yeah. Yeah. We laugh at that a little bit, given students our garage code, but in all reality, that communicates so much trust.
Yeah.
And man, props to your coach for taking that step. Hope that inspires some of us too. How about your next point though? So the first one, we know that students' barriers or their walls that they have up can be breached when we enter their turf. What's number two?
I think the second thing is their friends are now more easily accessible too. I think, you know, half the battle we have in ministry is like we talk about every weekend is we want you to bring your friends to come and see what we're doing here, but more importantly, what God wants for them and the life God has for them. And when we take the time to meet them where they're at, you now have this really awesome opportunity to meet a lot of their friends that you wouldn't normally get to meet again on a Saturday or a Sunday night. And I think, I mean, I see this all the time. One thing our team values is we go to middle schools 2 times a week. We go to serve at the lunch hours for 7th and 8th grade lunches at some of the nearby schools to the Surprise campus. And that's the high point of the day is getting to see some of our students. There might only be a couple at those schools, but we're getting to meet 30 more students that we've never met before. And now we have a face to a name. So when that student that comes normally on a Saturday or Sunday wants to invite their friend, it's like, hey, remember that guy that was here? He's playing football with us, threw that touchdown pass, whatever it is. Man, he's going to be there. You should come and we'll all hang. Like that just, it sets you up to now get to meet that student first time at our ministry, but it's not the first time you're meeting them. You know, it's better for them. It's more comfortable. They know a face. But you're setting up your students now too to be able to invite their friends, to make that easier invite, to get their friends to come and see what we're doing on a Saturday or Sunday. And I mean, that's half the battle. I mean, we talk about that all the time is, man, we want our students to invite their friends. This is an opportunity for us to get where they're at, where they're comfortable, where they're more open and meet some of those students that don't know Jesus and haven't been.
I love that. And I love how, not that you can't invite the friends that you're meeting for the first time there, but you're not necessarily taking that out of the student's hand. You're just lowering those barriers even further.
Yeah.
Like there's that somewhat familiarity. It's a little bit less scary for the new kid. It's a little bit less scary for your student to invite.
Yep.
Like you're smoothing the whole process just by being there and meeting some people.
Yeah. Yeah. You're no longer just some random dude that you don't know, but hey, this is I'm a real person. I'm a real dude. And they can see you in a different light than just at the church, which is good too. But they want to see us everywhere. And I think, that's where we get to invite some of those kids to come and check it out.
Dude, so cool.
Yeah.
Then you had a third point that I think is just magnificent and sometimes gets overlooked.
So yeah. This is probably the biggest one that we definitely don't get very many opportunities to do. And I've heard coaches say over and over again that this is probably one of the hardest things. But having that time to meet a parent of your students. And the third point, parents love people who love their kids. And when we get outside of the church and we go to games or we go to those drama plays or whatever it might be that your students are into, you get to meet the parents now. You get to see those kids' parents. You get to connect with them and you get to allow those parents to see that, man, the church, we talk about all the time, we want to partner with parents. We're partnering with parents to reach these students for Jesus. And now parents actively get to see you do that. And that's a huge win. And I think when it comes to camp, when it comes to the events we do, when it comes to trying to invest in these students' lives, if you get the parents on your side, man, that's going to be so much easier. If you have that relationship built, getting those students to camp, getting them to the Mexico mission trip, getting them to come to Brave on a weekend for junior high, whatever that is, those parents are going to trust you a whole lot more because they saw you investing in their kids outside the church. It's no longer just a, hey, bring your kids because we want them here just for us, but hey, we want to invest in them where they're at. And parents, they're going to love it. They're going to love it. And we rarely get to do that, but a couple times a year, whether that's a camp meeting or Mexico meeting or a Brave meeting, those are the main points that we get to touch with parents. And when we get to meet them where they're at, that's just another opportunity to connect with a parent.
So important. Three great main points, Justin. I just want to reiterate these because we should all just have these downloaded into our hearts and brains. Why do we show up for students on their turf? It's because the walls that they've built up are breached when we show up for them. Number two, their friends become more easily accessible. And that just speaks to our heart for evangelism at CCV. And then last but not least at all, parents love people who love their kids. And we should never take that for granted.
Yep.
Three awesome points. Thanks so much, Justin. How about a takeaway?
Yeah, I think if there's anything, if we were going to say to any coach out there, is when is your next opportunity or when's your next planned time to get on students' turf? What does that look like? And I think something that most coaches might hear when we talk about this is, man, I need to be doing something every week. And that's not, I don't think that's the case at all. I don't think that's even doable, really. Some coaches maybe, but I think every coach is different. And I think what times we have a lot of tendency to do is to look around and say, man, that person's doing this and that person's doing this and that. And I want to do all those things. But you have to find what works for you as a coach and your group. And maybe for you, it's, man, this year I'm going to plan one a quarter, or I'm going to plan one a month, or maybe it is once a week for you because you have the time and you have the schedule. But whatever it is, I just put a plan in place. I get something going and say, maybe it's twice before camp, twice after camp. Just put something together to take that time to invest in your students. And man, it goes a long way and it's definitely beneficial. So
yeah, it really, it like a little bit goes a long way with this and it'll just make a huge impact. Justin, thank you so much for taking the time, for walking us through that. Coaches are better because of what you shared with us. And you're just crushing it on your campus. And your coaches are amazing.
Thanks.
Every time I encounter them, I'm like, man, that Justin Doyle, he must know what he's doing.
Barely.
Yeah, we'd be missing it if we didn't give a big shout out to all the coaches in Surprise.
Yeah.
Man, we love your campus. We love the energy and the annoying Vuvuzelas every year at camp.
Yeah. Can we talk about that before this summer?
Yeah, it's a Vuvuzela. I don't know what you said.
But I don't know what I said. Probably something wrong. But we love you, Surprise coaches, nonetheless. You guys are awesome. And you've got a great leader with Justin, Bubba, Missy. You guys have a great team and are kicking butt in the West Valley. So keep it up.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Coaches, thank you for tuning in once again. Just dedicating a little bit of time to invest in yourself as a coach, because as we say every time, and we will never stop saying, we truly believe when the coach gets better, the whole student ministry gets better. So thanks again for listening, and we will see you guys next time.